This is what people want.
I mean, the thing that I want to dig into is
the nuclear war. You want the wish? You can change that shit.
This is Sprints and Milestones.
This is Sprints and Milestones.
Sprints and Milestones is produced by Audience Ops, a content creation business that helps agencies and marketers publish meaningful content. This episode is sponsored by Resource Guru, the number one rated resource management tool that promises to keep projects on track and restore work-life balance. Visit resourceguruapp.com to learn more. Welcome back to Sprints and Milestones, where if you've been joining us in this journey, you've experienced all the twists and turns of a season that's taking a look at the oh-so-bright and cheery topic of failure. And in all seriousness, hearing the personal experiences and real stories of our guests has been surprisingly uplifting. Of course, through the course of the season, we've seen how even though failure is a monster to be avoided in the workplace, it's not actually that easy to define. The question is, what is failure? And why can it be so difficult to talk about? Through personal accounts of less than amazing professional situations, we've gotten great insight into what some folks consider to be professional failures, as well as valuable insights on how to dodge failure. But perhaps the greatest benefit to hearing these stories and talking about failure together is that we're starting to develop a new lens on failure. And better yet, how to reframe it and overcome it. Will Reynolds, thank you so much for joining us on Sprints and Milestones. Excited to have you here.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to being here.
Will is an all-around great guy, and his story is proof of that. But before we get there, you should know that Will is CEO and Vice President of Sear Interactive, an award-winning digital marketing agency. Will started Sear in 2002 as a one-man operation out of his living room. Today, Sear is home of over 200 team members across Philadelphia, San Diego, and all over the United States. He is a strong leader and a family man who has a great heart and truly cares about his team. People who work for Will will tell you how great he is, which is why the story came as a bit of a surprise. In this episode with Will, we're going to explore what happens when our strength becomes an exploited weakness.
I think I've had to do a lot of internal work to make sure that the things that I'm doing for my company and my team are coming from a place of that's who I want to be versus what do I want people's reaction to be to what it is that I'm doing. There are times where I have given a lot and had my heart broken by not having it come back. And I think the earliest heartbreak I can remember like this is we were probably only about six people and one of our folks left to go on maternity leave. And she was like, you know what? I'm not coming back. And I'm like, all right, cool. We tried to convince her and all that, right? I was like, if we built a daycare, we were six people. I was like, if we built a daycare, like, would that make you want to come back? Would this be the kind of place where you would want to continue to work? Because I loved working with her. And she's like, nope, I'm out. I'm like, okay. I tried everything I could. Literally, build a daycare when you make like $200,000 a year. Wasn't going to happen anyway, probably, right? But I wanted to explore, is this something that people wanted? And long story short, I was at home. It was a snowy day. And I called her maybe like 6 months after she quit. And I was like, you know what? I know you quit. I know you're not coming back. But you were a part of our growth this year and our growth was greater than what I expected. So I'm going to give you half your bonus anyway. Even though you're not expecting it, there was no nothing, right? I'm like, you know, you were just a real part of our business growth this year. And she turned around and sued me. So this was back in AOL IM days. I think I IM'd her or used some kind of old checks. I remember like it was yesterday. It was the first time in my life that I didn't want to go to work the next day. And I had never felt that before. And I haven't really felt it since, thank God. But it put me in a really tough place because here's what I expected. Holy shit, Will, you're cutting me a check for 9 G's. Right. And mind you, we're all a bunch of 24-year-olds. So 9 G's, you know, I think it matters to a lot of people today. 9 G's still matters to a lot of fucking people today, given the state of this country. And, you know, I'm giving you 9 G's on some like, or 6 or 7, I forget the number, on some like, I just thought that she was going to be like, you're the freaking best, man. You are the best. It's free money. You already told me you're not coming back. I tried everything under the sun to get you to come back. You're like, no, well, I don't want to do you dirty. Like, I don't want to string you guys along. Here you go. You you guys, best of luck. I'll help you to the best I can. And I'm like, I'm going to show up and show you the kind of guy that I am. And in the moment of making it about her reaction, I in turn gave her power over me, because I was hoping she'd have been like, you're the best fucking guy on the planet. And I learned from that you do things like that because it comes from who you want to be, not from how the person on the other side receives it. But yeah, it felt like shit. And I literally, only day in my life, because I wasn't making that much money at that point. So I could have made more money being a solo consultant than I was being a fucking CEO, right? And that hurt a ton. Like, I've never hurt like that before from an interaction with a team member.
Okay, so Greg, to me, Will's story isn't really about personal failure, because in my opinion, Will was doing what he felt was right and kind. And that's just who he is as a person.
Yes.
To me, this is more of a business failure, in that you can't always be the person that you want to be at work. So maybe the failure was not checking in with a lawyer before sending that check, or maybe not thinking through what the legal ramifications would be. I don't know. I don't really know anything about the law, but right. It feels like the failure here was not ticking that box and maybe following your heart rather than following kind of a good business process. What do you think?
Yes. But it's also like, who could have seen this coming? Like, right. I surely wouldn't, right? Because, and we, like you say, we both know Will, he's a very genuine, caring guy, like has a huge heart. Not just for, where I should say, with his family, with his employees, with his company, even with his community. He does a lot of stuff for his community. So
absolutely.
How can you even think that's this kind gesture? And even like, I'm not saying it was like, had to be totally benevolent, but it is, he didn't have to do this. He did it. Who could see that someone would have some kind of different opinion that would be like a negative here? So on one hand, yeah, like checking in with someone and saying, hey, should I do this? You know, kind of yes, no, or what the ramifications might be. I think this is almost like something that until you've gone through it, you wouldn't even know that a problem is there, right?
Right.
Or there's a potential problem. So it's hard to say, you know, to look at this as a failure, as we might define failure, but man, it's a doozy of a story.
Yeah.
I think any good manager looks at themselves as the problem first. So what was my first reaction? It was, am I doing something wrong here? Am I somehow missing something? Because that's where you grow and learn, is by being like, I thought this thing was gonna be great. Oh shit, right, wrong. But like, it was the pause on the I am. It was the longest I've waited for somebody to tell me how much they appreciate me in my whole fucking life. So I'm like, hey, you know what? I know you quit, yada, yada, yada. I'm still gonna give you $6,000 or $7,000 this year because you were freaking great. I appreciate you. Mind you, she had quit and hadn't been in the company for 6 months. And the pause is, I was just like, wait, when's the thank you coming? But I don't remember if I had to re-ping her and be like, hey, are you still there or what? And then it just was like, I get served something that from like the city that was like, oh, you need to show up at this place at this time. Like, I'm six people. Who did I screw over? What did I do? And it was an employee related thing. And I'm like, everybody's still here. Nobody's really left that had a problem. So that's how I found out. Like, the damage was done on the pause. The pause told me all I needed to know. Something was off here with this bonus that I was giving. And that pause told me all I needed to know.
I think as nice people, we have interactions with others, whether they be coworkers, colleagues, friends, strangers, family members, and we think we're going to get what we give back, or people right. will just generally understand our positive intentions. And mm-hmm. I think this is a lesson in that that's not always the case. In fact, that's often not the case. I know I've found myself in situations where I feel like I'm doing the right and just thing. And then I find out that other people don't think that same way for whatever reason. And it's just unfortunate.
And I think that to me is where, and again, I almost hesitate to call this a failure because it's done out of kindness, but you're right. What you and I think is, kind, benevolent, a nice thing to do. There's so many people out there that just aren't going to care, or
right.
They're going to look at that and say, well, that was neat. But like in this case, you gave me 80%. I want 100, right? Like you couldn't have done a little bit more here, you know, and that's just, I don't even know how you avoid that. Otherwise we're going to turn into people who are always checking, like, should I do this kind thing? Should I be nice here? Should I do even what I feel is the right thing to do? And that's where I feel like, I don't know about you, but I can't allow myself to become that person. And if that means there's going to be gotchas like this, then I guess so be it. So it's, I guess it's all to say, it's really hard to learn or even understand what's the lesson learned here, right? Because people are going to be people.
I go, you're about to find out how little I care about money. Because once I absolve myself of being a dick somehow, I'm like, all right, it's on. Like you got a life that you need to live that shows your how well off you are, right? Like most of us do, right? With our expensive shit. And I'm like, don't underestimate for a second my willingness to go back to zero for what I believe is right. And I haven't had to have that conversation often. I've only had to have that conversation maybe twice in my whole life where I'm like, where I had to look at somebody and be like, I'll go to zero. But like, you're not winning this. You're not bullying me. You're not getting away with this shit. And I think somewhere deep down, you have to believe in that those anomalies are, they're anomalies, and that they're not how people really are. And that shit is as sensational as the murders in your city are on the 6 o'clock news. Nobody wants to say, millions of people walked around your city today just fine and got home safe. But if one of them gets shot, that's what we're going to tell you about. And I was like, is this just one that I'm going to alter the whole trajectory of all these other great people that were here? Because here's the other part about the story I didn't tell. The reason why I was giving her half of her bonus is because there was another guy who was like slightly outside of the eligibility requirement, which I think was like be here for a year. And we were completely open books. So everybody saw this pool getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, right? And he was out by like a month. And it was one of those things like, well, you get zero. And I was like, well, since she's no longer here, I didn't want to dilute everybody else for him because then they would have all been pissed. So then I was like, all right, let me bring this guy in. And I had accounted mentally for her. So I'm like, if I give her half, I can give him half and be like, yo, I know you missed by a month. Here's me trying to do right by you on this side. And then on her side, be like, you know what? I didn't want to dilute the whole team, but her share was still sitting in my accounting. Well, you know, that guy just celebrated his like 13th year here.
For me, the lesson learned is be true to yourself, right? Like Will is who good. He is in work, outside of work, at a conference, wherever you meet the guy, he is that guy. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that he can be that person. I think to me, the lesson learned is, and hey, we're talking about smaller business. Of course, now he's up to 200 employees, but still, you know, smaller business. We're talking about like sure. Verizon here, right?
Yeah, right.
You have to guard yourself. You have to be smart about your generosity and the decisions that you're making, and maybe having somebody to check that generosity or your perspective isn't a bad idea, particularly when you're dealing with employees.
I think people are basically good, man. We just give all the attention to the assholes. I think people are really good. I think people in their hearts are good people, and they want to do the right thing. And as long as I believe that, then I continue, and then I don't have to look very far to find that. You can't do these things for how people are going to react. I do these things to pay homage to my mom, because this is how she raised me, right? So I'm not doing it for people's reactions anymore, but I had to adjust, because otherwise we end up with these shitty companies nobody wants to work at, right? And everybody's like, why are these CEOs so shitty? And they just stack all this money for themselves. And it's like, because when we peek our heads out at six people, I peeked my head out to try to do what I thought was right and got destroyed, right? So what do you learn? Let me protect myself from these people, right? Let me not tell them what the top of my salary range is, because you know what? I got to protect myself from them, right? And I never wanted to wake up every day being like, let me protect myself from these people, when the vast majority of them are freaking amazing human beings.
We're talking about when your strength becomes an exploited weakness. And in mm-hmm. this case, his strength was that kindness, that generosity. And I do think that that's who he is as a person. And it was exploited by someone. Now, one thing I want to talk about too here is there's a dynamic between employer and employee. And I think a lot of us have been in scenarios with an employer or a boss or manager that don't feel great. And sometimes it's hard to find empathy for that person who is supposed to be leading for you. And what I sense in a situation like this is, yeah, you're good to me, but you're not good enough to me. And that person was never thinking about the intentions that Will had, the kindness that was in his heart in sending a check. They were thinking about themselves. So how do you, as an employee, find that kind of empathy for your boss or your company owner or manager?
First, you have to want to have it.
True. Very true.
Bonus programs that don't scale, and all my pain over the years of being generous, but then having it come back to bite me, right? And I documented it. And I think the real lesson was, Will, you have long-term vision on your industry, but really short-term vision on how to run a business. And that could create problems for you, where what's in your heart that you want to do doesn't scale. And people are really bad at managing their expectations, especially when it comes to their careers and money. You know, when we just gave a $65,000 minimum to every employee, we had some people that were pissed. I'm like, how can you be mad that your CEO is like, I'm going to give away all this extra money that I don't want and need? Isn't that the place you want to work? And it was like, no, I'm pissed. And it's like, well, you're not making any less money, are you? Nope. Right? It's like, so you don't have any less buying power. Nope. We just pulled somebody else, a bunch of somebody else's up and made them okay. And it was like, well, I worked here for 3 years to get to that. And it's like, well, that just sounds like your butt hurt, but it actually doesn't affect you. It doesn't actually affect your life, right? Like, there's a cost of being in a company and being proud of what that company puts out every day. And it's crazy, because what we hear is people want to work at places they're proud of. No, they don't. They want to work at places that stoke their ego in whatever ways their egos want to be stoked. And because I think I've been living that, and I think that's another area where you start to give people power over your generosity, is when you're like, people want to be proud and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, I'm making my mom proud. I'm making sure my wife's proud. My kids, they'll look back at me someday. Hopefully, you know, hopefully I have the same circle of life that they do. Hopefully I'm sitting in a hospital bed some way and they're flying back asking if they were proud and have their earliest memories of me.
I wonder how you keep that perspective through scenarios like this. I mean, I guess you can always be personally grateful for what you have. But I have to think that when your strength is challenged and exploited in ways, that it starts to erode because other people's behavior start to affect you. But I think having the grounding of the experiences and relationships, you know, like his homage to his mom and his family, like that kind of legacy, taking that pride in yourself and who you are, is really important. And I think that's how Will gets through scenarios like this. Curious, like for myself, I sit here and think like, yeah, I don't know that I have something like that to draw from. Do you?
Well, I look at this situation, and for me personally, I would think first and foremost that these are the problems I'm going to have. I'll take this over, you know, other problems that I could have.
Yes.
Right. And so it's like, oh, I was being too generous and or just being generous and that didn't go well, and, you know, to your point of being authentic to yourself, I choose that over getting a letter from the IRS saying, we didn't receive your quarterly taxes on payroll. You owe us six figures, you know, or a client who's just, you know, screaming at you because they think you didn't do something right. Like, there's so many other problems that have nothing to do with who you are. And I see this in Will, where it's like, I created this problem, but I created it because I'm being authentic to myself and I'm trying to be helpful to others. And I feel like Will's just always been this way. He has that grounding. But that's kind of how I look at that and how I would look at something similar is if this happened or something similar happened to me, at least I'm the one that created it. It wasn't somebody creating a problem for me.
Right. You can hold your head up high knowing that your intention was to do the right thing and nobody else would think otherwise. Right. In fact, anyone who would find out about a lawsuit over a bonus like that after you've left a job would just think, wow, what a greedy person. Mm-hmm. That's all I think.
Yeah. So.
I think what I learned was the best stories were the ones that didn't always end up with some like, and then it all turned out great in the end. Mm-hmm. And I'm still learning on this journey. You know, what I've learned is that you can't, if you're going to be generous because of how you were raised or it's who you want to be, not for the reaction that you get. I think a lot of us start off idealistically like that, that idealistic part of us. And then we take these fucking chunks out of us, employees and shit, clients I'm used to, but the people you broke bread with, learn to not want the reaction. If you can learn to be like, I'm literally doing this and could have all these people leave tomorrow and it was still the right decision. Now I don't have any expectations, which means I can't be hurt anymore when I'm generous and I get smacked around. I just tell my story to tell it. I don't tell it to say, you should also do. This is just how I have managed the ups and downs of running a business and the disappointments and the sometimes having your heart stomped on a little bit by the people that you try to build up.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Will.
You got too. It. Have a great day today, you guys. Thanks. Good to see you both. Later.
Sprints and Milestones is produced by Audience Ops, a content creation business that helps agencies and marketers publish meaningful content.